This is Free Talk Live.
8:50. Turn off the ISDN
with Echo available.
Yeah.
That's much better.
Still getting a little bit of echo.
How many of you think that?
Did you mute the ISDN?
I just muted that. But we're going to check it out and see how we do. But this is Free Talk Live with myself, Chris.
Pope Nobody of the Church of the Invisible Hand.
Also known as Rich Paul and Mark.
I'm not even sure what I'm supposed to say at this point.
Exactly. You guys still getting echo back in?
Well, you're going to say it a lot, whatever it is. Say it again and again.
But what I'm doing is going headphones free, so I have no idea how I sound, but that's okay. 855-450-FREE, that's our toll-free number. You can hit us up there if you would like to take part in the conversation. You can also hit us up on Discord. Discord, all you got to do is load the Discord client. You can find that in your app store. You can run it on your mobile device, and you, using your high-speed internet connection and your excellent microphone, will sound like you are sitting right here in the studio with us. And we wanted to start off by talking about Bitcoin, because Bitcoin seems to be coming back in the news. Has anybody else heard this?
Well, I have seen a couple of major news stories. One was like a Japanese billionaire lost X number of dollars in Bitcoin because he bought the high.
Okay. Yeah. So bad news.
Well, that was bad news. Yeah, basically
for him.
Be afraid. This actually occurred, almost 20 months ago, a year and a half ago, and we're reporting it now. Be afraid.
Do you expect that Bitcoin will reattain its previous peak and surpass it?
You're asking me just to make a prediction, right?
I'm asking you as a prophet.
Okay.
I'm asking you to prophesy.
Not as an investment advisor, correct?
Well, I don't know that there is an investment advisor that one could claim a particular title in that way, but I'm going to say that as a guy who's been in Bitcoin for a while and seen since 2010 is the first time we discussed it here on Free Talk Live. I got my first Bitcoin in 2011 from Gavin Andreessen, the head of developer.
Nice.
I've seen the rises and falls. I remember when it was a big deal, people were like, do you think Bitcoin will ever hit $30 again?
I know.
And my answer to that is yes, indubitably. I do believe that BTC, and that is the market designation for Bitcoin or Bitcoin Core or whatever term one wishes to describe it.
Yep, the original Bitcoin.
Right.
As I guess. The longest running. Yeah,
there's a lot of arguments about that.
Exactly.
And yeah, you can't really say, because both are hard forked from the same source, and both are based on an idea that allows for hard forks. It's designed to hard fork if the community doesn't agree on things. Now, this is a long... I think the original version was that, or the original vision was that these hard forks would someday come together where one side or the other would submit, but it also left the possibility that this wouldn't happen. And apparently this isn't happening, and good, because to imagine that Bitcoin will be the only cryptocurrency 50 years from now is like imagining that the Atari 400 would be the only computer now.
For me, it's like calling something Bitcoin is like calling something Coke.
Yes. So, yeah, I use it for all crypto.
Yeah, well, I use it for all, at the very least, all Bitcoin. So there's like Bitcoin Private, Bitcoin Gold. There's a whole bunch of Bitcoins out there. Most of them are crap. They're worthless things that you should not even consider. But there's Bitcoin, basically sort of Bitcoin BTC or Bitcoin Cash.
Well, there's BCH. A whole bunch of Bitcoins, or there's Bitcoin Pizza. But I want to take a step back for some of our listeners out there who may be listening, sitting here going, I have no idea what a Bitcoin is, and where do I put one? And is there a slot on my Coca-Cola machine that Bitcoins fit into?
For them, I would say the best place to start is Bitcoin.com. They have the Bitcoin Academy there where you can take, you know, they have these you know, just short videos there where you can start sorting out what a Bitcoin is.
Sure.
But most Americans at this point have heard the term Bitcoin, and they have some notion of what it is. So it's digital money.
It's a good answer.
Right? So there's Google Pay, there's Apple Pay, there's Amazon's trotting one of these things out. There's a variety of these. I mean, Sears Roebuck had the Discover card 30 years ago or so, and it's the only thing that's really surviving from the company. You know,
that's it.
So it's a payment platform that allows one to send payments anywhere in the world, what they call peer-to-peer, from individual to individual without the intercession of a bank or a government. And I've got to say, I just had an experience. So for those who donated to the hope.freetalklive.com campaign to buy some farmland for the kids in Jinja, Uganda, I just got the money over there. So trying to wire money over there was a nightmare. And yeah, I managed to do it more cheaply by not using cryptocurrency, because changing back into shillings over there was about a 10% operation.
Yeah.
And when you're talking about $30,000, that's $3,000.
Sure.
So if I could go more slowly and save $2,900, I was willing to try that out.
Right.
And wiring money sounded easy. But these banks, these legacy organizations, my God, they're awful. And
they're intermediaries.
Yeah.
So between Mark and the orphans, there's all these intermediaries that the money had to pass through.
Right.
And the problem is they all take their own sweet time. They all charge a little bit.
Yep.
You know, it may be less expensive, but they're all going to take their little piece as it passes through.
I was sending it to a church over there, and that church had, I can't remember exactly off the top of my head, but it was like CMCI Development was the name of the account. We sent it to CMCI Dev, which was the abbreviation we were given. So we left out, apparently my bank left out the space between CMCI and DEV.
Well, Mark, everybody knows you never leave out the space.
All right. And then they, with the information they gave me, was Dev as opposed to Development. And it gets to the bank, and the right account number's there, right everything's there. It's just that somebody wrote CMCI DEV as opposed to CMCI space DEV element or whatever,
right,
the rest of it. And the bank said, no, sorry, we just can't give you the money. So they sent it back. That cost $100 total.
Wow.
That round trip. And 2.5 weeks or something. Then sending it back another week and a half or something. And then some more fees. Finally, it gets there. It's a little short. So now what do I do? You know, as I said, negotiate it down, and we'll see how it goes
right
at this point. But regardless, it's frustrating to use these banks. And what if the Ugandan government got in the way? Let me ask you this.
Right.
Maybe the Ugandan government didn't get in the way, but would the Russian government, would the Chinese government, would the North Koreans get in?
The U.S. government.
The U.S. government has some of the most stringent banking laws that apply outside of its own country.
So basically what you really needed is for there to be a business present in Uganda that would say, hey, we'll buy your Bitcoin for whatever the local currency is. And then you just make a Bitcoin transfer and they release the... As a matter of fact, you could obviate the need of your customer to have a Bitcoin wallet by locating a trustworthy individual over there who has a Bitcoin coin wallet and a pile of cash.
Yes.
And is able to buy Bitcoin from you because
him.
You transfer to it and he pays cash.
I located him. He wanted 10%.
He wanted 10%?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's the high cost of trust. And, you know, he's taking a risk.
Yeah.
You're taking a risk and there's a... money's going to exchange hands.
Yeah, he's doing it because he can get it, basically.
Right.
I mean, how many people Uganda can afford $30,000 in cash?
Right.
And also because if he's in that business, then, well, his money is tied up in that. It cannot, by definition, be tied up in anything else. And so, like, when I was in the weed business, I would think about pricing differently if I was taking my weed on the cuff than if I was paying up front for it. Because if the other guy's carrying the weight, then I don't have to get it back immediately. But
right.
855-450-FREE. What do you think? Is Bitcoin on its way up, 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 or is it on its way to down,
out,
oblivion? Who knows? 855-450-FREE. This is Free Talk Live. This is Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE. That's our toll-free number, 855-450-3733. In studio, you have myself, Chris, Rich, and Mark. Mark, this is like the first show that we've had in a long time on a Thursday where you've been a part of it.
Yeah, I sent Ian packing tonight.
He just wasn't working out.
Sorry. You know, it's been a long time. He's had a good run. And,
I know.
You know, he's if he can put together a series of good decisions, then we can start talking about him being on the air tomorrow.
Is it true he's being replaced by James of Arizona?
That's right. I'm going to bring James in here.
Oh, that would be good. What else would be good? And Mark brought it up last segment, but that would be if you went to Bitcoin.com. Bitcoin.com is your premier source for everything Bitcoin Cash related. Bitcoin.com helps you choose a Bitcoin Cash wallet, buy Bitcoin Cash, and show you where you can spend your Bitcoin Cash. You can also read the latest news or engage with the community on the Bitcoin forums. Learn more at Bitcoin.com. That's Bitcoin.com. And that's what we've been talking about. So Bitcoin has been in the news for a couple different reasons. I'm going to throw out a couple here. There was recent polling done by the Harris Organization that indicated some surprisingly high numbers of people in certain demographics that owned Bitcoin or were interested in owning Bitcoin. Percentages amongst young adults owning Bitcoin over, I want to say 16%. That's on the low end, and it may be higher. Percentages of people that were interested and knowing in it continue to grow, and more people overall considering it as part of their investment strategy. So you have short-term owners and you have long-term owners, and it's all pretty exciting, I think, in the industry. The reason I personally like the ideas of Bitcoin and cryptocurrency goes back to the ideas of liberty. I shouldn't have to be dependent on governments to decide what kind of financial transactions they will allow me to have.
I like it for that very same reason. It, however, has sort of, at the very least, BTC has certainly morphed into more of a financial instrument than sort of a currency in many ways.
BTC has, from my point of view, morphed into something that, you know, it's barely a true coin. Because the you know, the fees have gotten too high for BTC and the transactions too slow. Aren't they like 15 cents for a transaction?
So let me address a couple of these things. And I am one of the few voices of BTC support in this studio.
Right. You are pretty much you're closer to a maximalist than anybody else on the air on Free Talk Live.
I would agree. But first of all, in terms of the time of transactions.
But I will say that BTC is the market maker at this point.
I will too.
I'm not going to argue that, right? Like, it's the highest priced coin. People, when they think of something, they think of Bitcoin, they're thinking of BTC. I'm not arguing any of that point. I will, you know, I'll make other arguments surrounding it. But, you know, at this point, that's the doorway through which people come into the crypto world.
It's probably as close as you can come to buying a cryptocurrency index fund, you know, something that's just going to move with the average of cryptocurrencies.
I wouldn't disagree with that entirely.
But I think the problem with that is I think that Bitcoin has an unearned premium due to hype, and I think that as people, that Bitcoin is going to be the gateway drug to cryptocurrency for a lot of people, but I think that a lot of people are then going to say, well, why am I holding a fraction of a Bitcoin, half a Bitcoin, when I could be holding 5 Bitcoin Cash?
What?
And why, what is it about Bitcoin technically that justifies a higher price than Bitcoin Cash? I see nothing.
See no one in the marketplace who asks themselves any of those questions other than people who are technically curious, I think, as other things, other components. Mark?
Yeah, what I would say about that is, first off, I made a suggestion to buy Bitcoin Cash here on the air, among other times, at when it was at 0.05 Bitcoin. So 20 Bitcoin Cash to a Bitcoin.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And My statement has simply been that I believe that Bitcoin Cash will perform above 20% above Bitcoin. So if you're going to be in one, I think Bitcoin Cash is the way to go. I don't recommend being in one. I really think you should have a portfolio that's spread out. Right. I think you should have some Bitcoin, some Bitcoin Cash, some Ethereum. I'm liking the way Dash is looking these days. I was mad at it earlier. I don't have any Litecoin. Don't want anything to do with it. But, you know, I hold a grudge. I had Charlie. Litecoin back in the day, and it just languished for so long and then shot up. And so I want nothing to do with it. I'm not going in. I'm not buying late on what Litecoin. I don't need to.
Okay. The thing that scared me about Litecoin was when the guy who wrote it sold all his Litecoin so he could be neutral, and that just, you know, so that he could manage it for the public good. And that makes me think of an old Adam Smith quote that's underquoted. He said, I have never known much good to be done by those who purport to trade for the public good as opposed to their own.
That's interesting. Rich is referring to Charlie Lee, who was the inventor of Litecoin, and he somewhat famously unloaded all of his Litecoin in 2017. And he's like, I couldn't have planned this if I tried, but he literally sold at the high. He sold at around $300, and I think Litecoin's around $71 today.
So he's very wealthy, and he spent a lot of time dissing Bitcoin Cash and purporting Bitcoin, which kind of looks to me to be it's selfish or self-centered or sort of, you know, for his own
self-serving.
That's the term I'm looking for. I mean, so what's the biggest competition to Litecoin? Bitcoin Cash,
I would say.
And Litecoin is it's poorly serviced compared to Bitcoin Cash. Bitcoin Cash has far more developers working on it, a far more robust ecosystem, and all these things. Versus, or even Dash. To me, Litecoin's an anachronism. I'm not that interested in it. I didn't intend today to becoming an investment program in cryptocurrency, but I will say, Rich, to speak to your previous point, yes, I absolutely do believe that crypto's on its way back. And here's the reason. Before I explain anything else, all that matters is that people are buying. Chris, you work in a business where there's a machine.
Yes.
Are people a cryptocurrency vending machine? Are people buying more?
Yes. So we've had significant purchases recently, and this is strictly a function of price. Whatever the price of Bitcoin is, that's how many people walk in the door. The machine that is, it's in the Bitcoin Embassy, New Hampshire.
And same for me. I have intimate knowledge of a cryptocurrency vending machine, and I can tell you not only that there are more purchases, but that those purchases are significantly larger.
Yes.
And that all you have to know is a little bit about markets to know that it's about the buying and selling. And the buying is occurring, ladies and gentlemen.
And you can see it in the price. I mean, you don't go up. It's gone up, what, 25%, 50%. You don't do that without a lot of people putting energy in the form of money into that market.
Absolutely. 855-450-FREE. We're talking Bitcoin. Is it going to go up, up, up? Is it going to continue its charge? Is it going to drop back down? Or are there other coins that are interesting? We're going to talk about a couple of them, and we're going to take your phone.
Free Talk Live has found that though U.S. financial institutions are prohibited from doing business with foreign gambling websites, it's not illegal for U.S.-based internet users to gamble on those sites. People have been using VPNs or virtual private networks to connect to sites like games.bitcoin.com and play games with Bitcoin Cash. Games.bitcoin.com features poker, blackjack, roulette, craps, keno, slots, and dice. You can conduct your own investigation at games.bitcoin.com.
This is Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. In studio, you have Chris,
Rich Paul,
and Mark.
And we've been talking cryptocurrency. We've been talking Bitcoin. We've been arguing because that's what people do when they talk about cryptocurrencies.
Yeah, the cryptocurrency nerds do, yes.
That's it. And unfortunately, you have three of them in studio. But we're not going to bore you with all that tonight, but we probably will try to educate you a little bit about why these things exist and why they may be something you might want to consider in the future. Not just as investments, because that's what most people seem to think is, well, the price of Bitcoin's right. going up, so I've got to jump on.
I sincerely hope that cryptocurrency does not stall out and simply become an online virtual commodity to be used as a buying and selling and sort of investment situation.
I agree.
That's yeah. not what I'm in this for.
Me either.
It's now, of no value if that's all it is.
Right. If it is a currency, I say may the best man win. And if that means that there's three cryptocurrencies standing on the podium at the end of this, fine. Let me hand out the bucklers and short swords. By all means, I want the good ones to kill the bad ones. Mm. I think that you know the Twitter wars, the World War Geek, and all this stuff that has gone on. There's far too much division that's been left. I mean, there's too much blood on the field. People, they get they love their coin, whatever their coin might be, and every one of those coins out there so far has something that you can argue is could be better.
So let's talk about some statistics in terms of tweets. How often per day do people mention Bitcoin? About 20,851 times in the last 24 hours, Bitcoin was the hashtag on Twitter. If we talk Bitcoin Cash, it was 678 times within the last 24 hours.
So that's less than a 20th.
Yep. If we talk about
that down again, to a 30th. If you're using it as a generic for cryptocurrency or as a generic for Bitcoin derivatives, then either case, Bitcoin serves as a stand-in for Bitcoin Cash.
Right. Somebody could be tweeting hashtag
yeah, they
Bitcoin,
could be using it
crypto.
Very generically. They could be saying hashtag tag crypto.
Well, let's know. This is specific tags Bitcoin. Let's,
sure,
but no, I'm
let's
saying it may
tag.
Mean the same to them as hashtag crypto.
Okay, so let's throw another one in the mix. Let's call it Ethereum. Ethereum, if you're hashtagging Ethereum, you're probably talking about Ethereum.
Well, you could be just trying to get the attention of people who are, caring about these top coins. But please, go ahead.
4,946.
All right.
So
and Ethereum's a very interesting platform.
Yeah.
So as opposed to being what Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash and Dash and, Horizon and a variety of others out there, which purport to be cryptocurrencies, Ethereum is a platform for smart contracts and a whole, it might very well be Web 3.0. We don't know yet.
It's a distributed computing platform is what it is. It is a distributed platform for which you can write code without knowing what machine it's going to run on and when it's going to run, but it runs repeatedly, so no matter where it runs the same and gives the same answer.
And with the idea that all cryptocurrencies had, without knowing or having to trust the people in between, the intermediaries. So you can go and you can run your code on Google. You can build your own Google apps and run it in the Google engine. But that means you're having to trust Google. So if people want to do that in a decentralized way, they could look at things like Ethereum.
Now, I consider Ethereum to be highly speculative as opposed to Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash, which are shown to do what they say they're going to do. Ethereum, at this point, is still an idea. The biggest news that it's gotten up to this point is when its DAO went down and because somebody hacked in and took, some millions of dollars, and then they went traveled back in time and took it back. It's like the Avengers movie. It was amazing. They went in there, they chopped his head off and took his money, and off they go.
To be clear, there was never an Ethereum hack. There was a horribly written Bitcoin contract that allowed, about $50 million worth of value to go to one person who did not deserve it, but hey, maybe he did because
he wrote the code.
He was a better programmer. 855 450 free. What do you think? Does this stuff just drive you nuts, or are you excited for the idea of another money? When we look at what competes with Bitcoin, I don't talk about Bitcoin Cash or Litecoin. I talk about the U.S. dollar.
Yeah.
That's the competition. That's what we need to supplant because your dollar is broken.
Bitcoin Cash, and a variety of cryptos are kicking the dollar's butt. That's why it keeps on going up in value.
Right.
And the other thing is, just as I said, when you trade $1,000 for Bitcoin, you're putting energy into the Bitcoin sphere, if you will. You're putting it into the Bitcoin community. When you short the dollar,
yeah,
you take away power and control from the federal government, from the federal government, from the big corporations, because all of them are tied to dollars irrevocably. And you withdraw yourself from the whole world currency system because the whole world currency system is pyramided on top of dollars. So if you wanted to, there was an attempt by the French Yellow Vest to cause a bank run by pulling all their money out of the French banks. Well, the question is, what do they do with the money? Just carry it around in cash? Well, if they buy Bitcoin with it, they can not only take their energy away from the French banks, they can take their energy away from the French government, because they won't trade in their coin. And if you pay your soldiers in a coin that their fellow citizens won't give them sex and beer for, then there's no point in paying your soldiers. They're not going to work.
Nicely said, Rich.
Thank you.
So I don't know. I think I foresee a day when Bitcoin supplants a lot of transactions that get done in U.S. dollars today, and that was borne out by those statistics that we were talking about, the results of the Harris polling, where most people ages 18 to 24 I think it was 40-some percent were foreseeing a day when the bulk of transactions, financial transactions, would be in Bitcoin and not in dollars. And that gives me optimism. Those are young folks.
That's what the Harris poll said, that a majority of transactions would occur in, because
not a majority, but a high percentage, say 44%. That's what they were saying.
Why 44%?
Because that's the best of my memory.
44%.
Of respondents.
44% of respondents said that there would come a day that the majority of financial transactions would be in Bitcoin?
Yes.
Okay. That is pretty amazing. I would say that if you're talking about 10% of transactions happening in Bitcoin, that the world monetary system will come crashing down almost immediately.
I don't know if it's 10%, but there is a number where that's going to happen. And then the other thing that's going to happen at that point is all the precious metals are going to come back into play, because there are things that cash is good for, and there are things that gold is good for, and gold is the real cash, the real money. So you will, if the world currency market collapse, there are going to be people who are going back to trading in gold, and I hope there will be a good, true 100% reserve gold-backed coin or silver-backed coin, because that's something that we really need.
Yeah, they're working on that right now. There are a few gold-backed coins, and we actually talked about the Liberty Dollar here on the air, which is a silver-backed coin, so they exist.
Yeah, the Liberty Dollar has some technical flaws, and I'll have to report back to you on exactly what they are, because I frankly don't remember, but I remember there being
the new coin,
the new one, yeah.
Okay.
And I remember it being, thinking something along the lines of, oh no, they're doing it again. Because the thing that I told Von Nothaus in the 90s that if you call it dollar, you're going to go to jail. And that's why he went to jail.
Well, a dollar is a measurement of silver. I think it's more accurate to call his Liberty Dollar than it is to call the U.S. dollar a dollar.
855-450-FREE. What do you think? Dollars, Bitcoins, which one's going to be better for your financial future and your liberty? 855-450-FREE. When we return, we'll discuss the poll results. This is Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. We've been talking Bitcoin, and we find the subject kind of interesting, and apparently more and more people do, too. Bitcoin awareness.
Now, note that we've been talking about all kinds of cryptos, and what you just said was which was accurate, but not complete. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, that is true, and we have been...
It's easy to call crypto Bitcoin. It's kind of the Coke and Kleenex problem. Kleenex. problem that's out there, and I understand that, but you know, Bitcoin BTC is just one of many cryptocurrencies that's available out there.
That's absolutely true.
And yeah,
but when we talk about these numbers, we are going to some data that was mined that was specific about Bitcoin, and this is coming to us from some Harris polls that the Blockchain Capital Company founded or came across when they did their polling. Bitcoin awareness amongst all populations has increased from about 11 people that have never heard of Bitcoin fell by more than half, from 23% to 11%, and that's the time.
At this point, 11% of the United States population has not heard of Bitcoin. Yeah.
Where are those people?
I don't know, but they're out there.
Well, we've got a graying population. Maybe the old folks home we haven't penetrated yet.
Yeah, there's the old folks home. There's cults. I mean, there's people who live out off the grid. There are people that could, you know, quite possibly haven't heard of it.
I'm going to have to remember never to use the word penetrated in reference with an old folks home. That just called an image to my mind that I don't want to think about anymore.
That's it. Perception, people that would strongly or somewhat agree with the phrase, with the statement that Bitcoin is a positive innovation in financial technology, rose 9 percentage points. So from 34% in 2017 to 43% in 2019. So people are looking at this more positively. And we are going to, well, I was going to say we're going to go to the phones, but we're not going to go to the phones. Conviction, people that believe that most people will be using Bitcoin in 10 years rose 5 percentage points from 28% in October 2017 to 33% in April 2019. And again, the biggest gains are among millennials, among the younger population. I don't know if that's really surprising. Do you?
It seems like the younger people are more likely to adopt they adopt newer technologies more readily than anybody else does, sure.
And yeah, they have about 100% penetration with smartphones, or close to it, which you can't say for older people.
At this point, I think we're close to 80%.
Yeah,
market penetration.
But my mom doesn't have a smartphone. She's got a flip phone. And at 91, she figures that's good enough for her. She doesn't want to figure out how to use it.
Yes, my friend that I visit in the nursing home is 89, and he has a flip phone, and it is frustratingly difficult technology for him to understand.
Yeah. Now my dad actually does very well with his smartphone. He's same age range.
But yep. Some want to learn, some don't.
Right. Yeah, well, that and my father was still, you know, active in a university as faculty as late as like a year or two ago.
Sure.
He may even be doing it now. So he has people that he emails with on a daily basis and that kind of thing. So he has to use his phone all the time.
You don't want to come ask me about Instagram or, trance music or a whole variety of things that are intended to appeal to a younger market than me. And I think the cryptocurrency, it just has a younger appeal to it.
The thing is, a coin of a store of value that doesn't erode out from under you,
yes,
is like the most valuable thing, especially if you're a poor person, that you can have. And the reason for this is inflation robs.
There's been some erosion since its peak at $20,000 in December 2017. I mean, those people who bought, like that Japanese billionaire, they're going to feel like erosion occurred.
You just have to zoom out.
I mean, definitely that was a terrible time to buy. And I expect there to be more bubbles. So I don't, you know, what I do suggest people do is if somebody tips them in Bitcoin or whatever, hold on to that.
Yeah.
You know, if you can afford to hold on to a few bucks worth. I mean, I was stuck with some extra cash when I was driving cab, like, you know, a year and a half ago. I had extra $1,000 in cash and I wasn't sure what to do with it, so I bought Bitcoin and ended up due to some day trading that I did while it was going on, I ended up with a $30,000 pile, like six months later. Now, that's not going to happen all the time.
No.
And in that time frame, a lot of people did that.
But you have to figure that every time a new person hears about crypto, the market for crypto grows. And because the amount of crypto available can't increase that fast, each coin has a set limit as to how much of it you can produce. The only way to accommodate more people wanting to get into that market is to sell them some at a higher price.
I think when we talk about this bubble, what all three of us are looking at, because Bitcoin has had a fairly slow but steady progression since its inception 10 years ago. The period of 2017, so January 2017, it was trading at around $1,000 a Bitcoin. That was a highlight.
January 2017?
2017. And then by December 2017, in December, it reached an all-time high of $19,000.
Right. It certainly shot up that last half of 2017.
Yep. I will not call that a bubble. I will call that euphoria. I will call it a mania. It was
the mania surrounding...
But a euphoria or a mania, those are just another word for bubble.
They don't have to cause bubbles, and they not necessarily bubbles don't have to be caused by mania or euphoria. They can be caused by governments.
Bubbles can be caused by government, and I think this one was caused by a combination. I think there was somewhat of a psyop in which a lot of banks through a lot of intermediaries bought up a lot of Bitcoin on the sly and then sold it back off later slowly in order to create this. I think
the
bubble was partially artificially created.
That could be the case.
Artificial root of the bubble fed into the irrational irrational exuberance that led to it. But this exuberance, I don't think, was long-term irrational. It was short-term irrational.
Oh, it was.
People who thought they were going to become millionaires overnight people already had become millionaires overnight were generally wrong.
Right.
The time to become a millionaire overnight is before anybody else has become a millionaire overnight, because that's when the opportunity still exists.
So, Mark, what do you think? Was that a mania? Was that a bubble?
I don't know.
Was that the tulip?
The distinctions
Give me
that you're
the technical
making here?
Definition of the difference between the two.
Right. I can't answer your question until I have a Socratic basis.
Yeah.
However,
what you have there is a distinction without a difference.
Nobody has said the word ICO here in this conversation,
That's
and it needs
point.
To be stated.
Yeah.
The ICO bubble is what I call that. What occurred, the mania. You can use whatever term you want. People weren't buying Bitcoin for the sake of Bitcoin. They were buying Bitcoin as a doorway to get into the ICOs, where people were making, in some cases, 1,000 times on their money.
Oh yeah.
And they wanted to get into that, and that was as irrational as it possibly got. It's just like a whole bunch of people are just throwing out vaporware, calling it a business proposal, and saying, give me the money. And
well, to be fair, those people had to write a white paper first.
Yeah, they
it wasn't
write.
Like they did
you
nothing
see,
for
I
it.
Would imagine that if somebody took and threw $10 into $10 each into 100 random ICOs, I will bet that he would have ended up taking back over $1,000, even though most ICOs fail. If his timing was good. So think about what would have happened if the first day you heard of any coin, you had bought a dollar's worth. And
people
then you hear
flying.
The next coin and you buy a dollar's worth. And then you buy the next coin.
Wait, Rich.
Would you be a millionaire?
People were flying private jets to come see Roger Ver and consequently me on the island of St. Kitts.
Right.
And attempting to get him and me and anybody who was standing around's name on their ICO so that they could say, see, endorsed by Roger Ver and Mark Edge.
Absolutely.
Whatever it took, it was flimflammery from the beginning to the end.
Why
from what
didn't
I could
you
see.
Bring me with you for that? I mean,
you and I don't usually travel together on private jets, Rich.
I know. That bothers me. I think we should be closer, especially at times like that when...
You love Bitcoin. It's the future, right? Well, no, not if everyone stops using it. I mean, think about it. How many places in your town take Bitcoin? One? None? Let's be real. If this Bitcoin thing is ever going to happen, it's going to need your help. The good news is, the guys at AnyPay have your back. We built a website called helpmetakebitcoin.com, and it's a place you can send any business, and they'll be set up to take Bitcoin in 5 minutes. helpmetakebitcoin.com.
Free Talk Live.
This is Free Talk Live. 855-450-FREE. That's our toll-free number, 855-450-3733. In hour number two, to recap hour number one, we talked a lot about Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies, and it's current, again, a rise in price across the board with a lot of cryptocurrencies, and our hope, at least my hope, that these things begin to supplement, excuse me, not supplement, they replace fiat supplant fiat currencies, those currencies that governments say you must use. I believe that we should have a free market in cash, that you should Absolutely. Be able to use anything you like.
Yep.
And this is Chris in studio. We also have
Nobody.
Nope. And Mark, why are you going by Nobody?
Because just a little while ago, I filed paperwork to legally change my name to Nobody.
Okay.
And I'm going to be running for mayor of Keene.
Well, just to be clear, currently Nobody is being played by Rich Paul, correct?
It's true.
Okay.
So legally Rich Paul.
Legally Rich Paul.
But I do need to establish that I've gone by Nobody for a while, so I'm going to be Nobody.
So we have Nobody. We have the
somebody,
the Pope of the Church of the Invisible Hand. You are known by many things,
Pope
Rich.
Indigent the First.
My names are Legion.
There you go. Well, in addition to Legion, Legion. Let's
think I've got
pronounce
oh,
that correctly.
Oh dear.
One other thing I did want to tell you about
is that a red spot, baby?
I hope
Shanker.
Not.
I didn't even know her.
One thing I did want to tell you about is the Edge Wallet. If you heard us talking about Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies, you're probably wondering how to hold on to those. And a good way to do that is to use the Edge Wallet. Edge is available on iOS and Android. You can find it in the Play Stores or your App Store in either one. With Edge Wallet, you can buy, sell, trade, and securely hold on to cryptocurrencies. It's user-controlled. You own your own money. There's support for Bitcoin, Bitcoin Cash, Ethereum, tokens, Monero, Ripple, Stellar, and many, many more. This is a veteran team. They've been building since 2014. They want to help secure your freedom. Find out more at edge.app. That's edge.app. So what I did want to talk about a little bit is Julian Assange, his ongoing fight to stay out of jail after doing some real good in this world. It just boggles me that I had this thought that maybe Trump, after all the WikiLeaks that appeared to be pointed towards our
right, like
failed.
You would think that he would like Julian Assange at this point.
I would have thought. And I thought as much as Julian seemed to go after Mrs. Clinton, maybe he would consider that. But it's not the case. But Julian Assange is starting an extradition fight from a UK prison. This comes to us from London and CNN.
He doesn't belong in the United States. There's no reason the United States needs Julian Assange. Not one.
No. Julian Assange appeared
in London. But there are certainly reasons that the United States might want to have Julian Assange, which are not entirely necessarily sinister. And the one reason that I can think of for that is, first off, Donald Trump wants to know whether or not Seth Rich delivered those documents to WikiLeaks, because if he did, then Hillary Clinton becomes the primary suspect for ordering the murder of Seth Rich. That is a question that only Assange can answer. It would make him legally a material witness in an ongoing murder investigation, which would give the government legal but not moral authority to arrest him. So I think that what's going on here is probably a negotiation behind the scene with Trump. I think this is probably the art of the deal going on, and I hope that Trump gives Assange a good deal, and I hope that Assange gives Trump Hillary Clinton on a silver platter.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
It would be interesting. London. Julian Assange appeared in a London court by video link from a high-security prison on Thursday as his battle against extradition to the United States on a computer hacking conspiracy charge got underway. The WikiLeaks founder, speaking from Belmarsh Prison, wore a sports coat and was not handcuffed.
Was he shaven?
I couldn't tell you. Oh. Asked by Judge Michael Snow.
He looked like a hobo the first time when they got him.
Yes, yes. He was long-haired, long beard. It did not look like what you normally think of when you think of Julian Assange.
You know, with this face replacement software they have in videos now, am I supposed to believe that Julian Assange actually appeared before some court via video?
That's a good point. Asked by Judge Michael Snow if he wished to surrender himself for extradition, Assange said, quote, "I do not wish to surrender myself for extradition for doing journalism that's won many, many awards and affected many people," unquote. Lawyer Ben Brandon, representing the United States government, said that the provisional arrest warrant for the 47-year-old was based on an indictment filed in Virginia for, quote, one offense of attempting to access a computer without consent and accessing a computer without authorization, unquote. Quote, Chelsea Manning, a former U.S. Army intelligence specialist, downloaded a vast amount of classified documents. This includes four databases with nearly 90,000 Afghan war reports, 400,000 Iraq significant activity reports, and 250,000 State Department cables. Unquote.
Yeah, supposedly.
So to give you an idea of the magnitude of that, what he's accused of is the same thing you would be prosecuted for if they prosecuted you for trying to get into your girlfriend's Facebook account by guessing her password. You would have committed the same crime that Julian Assange is accused of committing.
Right, and this article goes on to talk about what kind of time he would be facing if he were extradited to the United States and served the full... It is a 5-year sentence. So,
yeah. And 5-year maximum, which means
correct.
That federal sentencing guidelines probably would dictate a much shorter sentence on a first offense, as I understand
it. If he would have hopped bail and he would have gone and done this, he would be out by now.
Right.
If he would have stood in every U.S. court and lifted his middle finger and declared to the judge, "F you, Yankee," every time that they spoke to him, he would be out at this point.
But he would not have gotten, I think, the level of exposure that he got. I think being a mystery man holed up in an embassy was partially a desire to avoid jail because, you know, jail, they can easily kill you. You know how easy it would be for somebody to die in jail that they didn't want to get out.
Absolutely.
It's the ultimate plausible deniability.
That's it. Judge Snow said proceedings would be adjourned until May 30th, while another procedural court date will take place. Quote, "The full extradition hearing is many months away, where the substance of your case is likely to be argued," unquote, he added. Outside Westminster Magistrates' Courts, dozens of Assange supporters, including around 80, quote, "yellow vest," unquote, protesters, visiting from France, rallied waving signs.
Nice. The yellow vests were there. I like those guys. I mean, I don't agree with them on everything, but, you know, I think they do a lot better job running France than the French government is doing.
I don't imagine they agree with each other on a lot of things either.
Well, and that's one of the things that I respect about them is I'm kind of low grade trying to start a yellow vest movement in the United States. And one of the reasons that I want to do that is because it's going to happen anyway. And I want to have some input on what the message is. And one of the pages that I'm using to support it is called "The Great Object is That Every Man Be Armed," because I want to inject that into the yellow yellow vest movement in America, that there's a reason they're not shooting us down like the French are shooting their people down. And that reason is we've got guns.
That's a good point.
And I want it to be an open carry yellow vest movement here. And I want it to be a nonviolent yellow vest movement, because you can't combine open carry with violence.
Absolutely.
That's a war.
Yes.
855-450-FREE. Julian Assange out. We hope to be out soon. And what are your thoughts on him? 855-450-FREE. This is Free Talk Live. This is Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE, free as in Free Talk Live, where you can call and you can change the subject. You don't like what we're talking about, bring up your own topic. We'll discuss it, and we'll see if we can have a pleasant conversation about it. In studio, you have myself, Chris.
Nobody.
And Mark.
Tonight, Nobody is being played by Rich Paul.
Yeah, I don't know how to
stand in.
I can't imagine changing calling you Rich Paul to Nobody. But
you can still use Rich Paul as a nickname.
It's a nickname. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. And will there be a particular pronoun that goes with Nobody?
I believe they.
They.
I would have guessed.
Well, the reason is because I think it agrees better with the common usage of nobody.
Okay.
So when you're going by Pope Indigent...
Nobody has to if they don't want to.
When you're going by Pope Indigent the First, is your pronoun His Holiness?
Or His Excellence.
I see.
I don't know what my pronoun is. I guess I just come up...
Just a boring he has...
I know, yeah. He... that's what
although the only time anybody ever asked me my pronoun, I was so taken aback and shocked that, I mean, I'm sorry. Isn't it kind of clear what my pronoun is most of the time?
that 6-inch long beard ought to let him know. My son's summer camp is a Quaker camp, and last year when I took him, all the girls with unshorn legs that are counselors there had their pronouns on their badges.
That's interesting. Right. I don't know if it. I guess it surprises me a little bit out of Quakers. Quakers, I tend to think, is rather apolitical.
Oh no!
Oh no!
No,
I haven't been to my been to a meeting.
No, they are not apolitical.
The only Quaker I know is crazy as a loon, so I'm going to have to refrain from that.
Well, another Quaker here.
Yeah, I was going to say he
oh,
is
really?
Right here yes. in studio with us.
I didn't know that.
The clerk of my meeting for about 4 years, so I qualify pretty thoroughly as a Quaker.
Yeah,
but I showed up at a meeting that's across the river in Vermont, and I saw like at least two bumper stickers that said Obama with the peace sign in the middle, and I can't find anything more offensive. So, there are lots of lefties in the Quaker sphere. There are libertarian Quakers, and we have a little Facebook page that we talk to each other on, but that's about it.
See, what I don't understand is how you can be a Quaker without being a libertarian, because Quakers are pacifists, aren't they?
Oh, well, I welcome you to come to a meeting and have this conversation.
I will have this conversation. Bring me to a meeting. I will preach the word of the hand. I will bitch smack them with the invisible hand.
Well, generally when one starts with from the premise that that the other side is wrong, it's going to go poorly. But
if you start with the premise that the other side is right, it's going to go worse.
Well,
the trick is to find out where they're right and where they're wrong, and then show them that in a way they can understand.
That is the
trick.
But
you have to, I mean, if you don't have confidence in your opinion, then why are you trying to spread it to others?
I'm not. I don't go and try to. I'm not going to Quaker meeting to spread my political views, and I doubt that I'm going to be very successful with the septuagenarians that are there.
Right.
So I just mostly, if asked, share my opinion. If not asked, keep it to myself.
Which is fairly easy, it seems, in a Quaker meeting where there is a lot of time that is spent in
silence
and contemplation, and that's kind of cool. I think I don't know. I wouldn't go to a religious gathering with my expectation to change anybody's mind. It's more to me about experiencing what they're doing and trying to understand.
Well, you're
maybe
not,
there's something I'm missing.
You're not a pope. I'm trying to recruit employees from my competitors.
855-450 free. We've been talking Julian Assange and his extradition fight that he is starting from prison, sadly, because that's where he's at. He was sentenced to, I believe it was 50 weeks that he's going to be sitting in jail in England for, and he's going to be waiting on extradition hearings, which maybe looked like they are not going to proceed until May 30th. A large truck with a billboard that read hashtag free speech and showing Assange and Manning with American flags covering their mouths also disrupted traffic. The road was reopened after police arrived at the scene.
It's nice to see the words free speech in a context where nobody's calling anybody a racist, because it's almost like free speech have become dirty words in political debate recently. And I'm happy to see them used in reputable circumstances.
I see. I see what you're saying. And it's almost like when you say, talk about free speech, you're like, oh, what are you, you're defending Trump supporters now? Or you're defending hate speech?
Exactly.
That must be what you're talking about.
I literally had a debate with a college professor on, I can't remember what the platform was, but you know, his position was that free speech is too dangerous and that essentially white males monopolize it, so we've got to get rid of it. We legislate against certain types of speech was his premise, you know, which is true, right? Like you can't make threats, and you know, of course, the old saw, you can't yell fire in a crowded theater, which of course I have, and nothing happened.
See, my answer to that would be, and that's why I don't want to live in the same country with you. So how do you feel about secession?
Well, I would encourage everyone to read Walter Block's Defending the Undefendable, which takes on that very subject about people who may find a perverse thrill in being scared by someone yelling fire in a crowded movie theater. And why should those people be deprived if the movie theater owner allows that sort of behavior to occur? So there's all sorts of takes on free speech, but lightly.
See, at that point, though, I would say it would be on the movie theater owner to, like, if that's not a regular thing in their society, if that's not considered best practices in their theater industry, then he should probably put up a sign that just says, hey, this is a theater where people yell fire, so if people yell fire, don't worry about it. And he should do that to protect his property as well as his customers.
Well, if that's Walter Block's point.
If you do it in a deadpan voice, nobody's going to believe you. So now we're legislating against people who can act well.
Exactly.
Right. So it's more reasonable to say, yeah, the property owner. But then again, you know, how many pages of lists of things you can't say do you want to read on your way into the theater for a night out?
Well, I think that it's pretty fair.
The question is, because you want these things to be so clearly to be clearly transmitted, not just out of concern for the rights of the people.
If you go to
involved,
the local theater, they basically threaten you pretty thoroughly that if you say things they don't like when they don't like,
right,
or you leave your cell phone on, we're going to throw you out of the theater.
Fair enough.
And they're clear.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Short and sweet.
You
know, now, whatever
you say, whatever we don't like, whenever we don't like it, you're out of here.
Right.
Because mostly they're talking about talking during the movie. And everybody hates that a-hole, by the way. You know,
ultimately, I almost got into a physical fight with a guy who took a cell phone call in a theater just outside Detroit. And I thought he was going to hit me, but I was just like, dude, this is not a phone booth. What are you doing?
Yeah, absolutely. Unacceptable.
855-450 free. Are you that person who talks during movies? If so, we want to talk to you. 855-450 free. Free as in freedom. This is Free Talk Live.
Looking for a great real estate investment? Consider New Hampshire, which is ground zero for the Liberty Movement. Your first call should be to Mark Warden from Porcupine Real Estate. He's more than just a real estate agent. He's your New Hampshire concierge. Where are the best places to live? Do you want farm, city, the burbs, or forest? Do you want a duplex or multifamily building so that renters pay your mortgage? There are homes in all price ranges in New Hampshire, and Mark can help with financing too. Invest in liberty and property. Mark Warden can help.
PorcupineRealEstate.com.
This is Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE. That's free as in Free Talk Live, or free as in freedom, whatever is important to you. In studio, we have myself, Chris, Rich, Paul. I'm sorry, nobody. Rich is now going by nobody, and Mark Edge.
Because nobody loves you when you're down.
Well, there you go. And we've been talking about Julian Assange, who has undertaken a fight for extradition from his UK prison cell. This story comes to us from CNN, and it continues. This is the second court appearance of the week for the Australian, who on Wednesday was handed a jail term of almost a year, I believe it was 50 weeks, for skipping bail in 2012 when he sought political asylum in London's Ecuadorian embassy. Assange was wanted in Sweden for questioning over sexual assault and rape charges. The whistleblower, who has repeatedly denied any wrongdoing, said he sought refuge over fears of onward rendition from Sweden to the United States due to his work with WikiLeaks.
Now, seems like a fair fear.
It is. That's a legitimate fear.
And a year was the maximum for that. For what he was charged with, right?
I believe so.
So it's very surprising that nonviolent criminal, he's charged with nothing but bail jumping because the underlying charges are dropped, but he's doing the max for jumping bail on charges that were nonsense.
Right.
Doesn't surprise me, considering
strange.
They had to put,
especially in Europe, where they rely much less on jails than we do.
They put the cops on the beat there for like the last 8 years to watch the door of the Ecuadorian embassy, and they want as much get back as they can get from this guy.
Yeah. Huh. That's definitely the U.S. is who
I think you're right, but I don't think it's having to raise taxes by a fraction of a penny a head that's bothering them. I think it's spilling the beans.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's a lot of good stuff in that about the U.K. and the USA conspiring to destroy Libya. Nobody talks about the contents of the Hillary Clinton emails. They're awful, and they're undenied, and they're undeniable because they're cryptographically signed.
Interesting.
It's
well, we don't know everything there is, but I'd love to roll the dice and find out.
Well, even Pizzagate, people say it's nonsense, but it's fascinating because what we do know for sure is that Leon Panetta was sending messages that were transparently written in code. You can speculate as to what the code means.
Right.
But you cannot dispute that he was sending coded messages to somebody. So who was he sending them to? What do they mean? I want to know.
There were some interesting, I don't know if you followed any of this stuff, Mark, but
have you not paid attention to this? Because this is the biggest story of the century.
Oh, I don't know if it's that.
Pizza game?
No, wars being started to over people accepting dollars and people wanting gold-based currencies.
Well, that is huge.
If that's true. True.
Smashing Syria mostly at the behest of Israel. Just some of the reasons that she exposes behind her foreign policy. And then there's everything that went on with the Clinton Foundation. Now, I'm not a Trumper, okay? And I don't care about Trump. I would be very happy if he gets the cell next to Hillary Clinton. But I'll tell you what, I would kiss his butt. But if he actually put her in jail just once to make the point.
The story continues. His nearly 7-year stint in the embassy was brought to a dramatic close on April 11th when Ecuador withdrew his asylum and invited in British police, citing Assange's bad behavior. He was then forcibly hauled out by officers. Thursday marks the start of what will likely be a long and protracted extradition fight. While Assange is presently only facing one charge, U.S. prosecutors have signaled more charges could be on the way. UK Home Secretary Saeed Javid told members of Parliament on April 11th that the U.S. has up to 65 days, or until mid-June, to send full extradition papers. Quote, they have the ability to add more charges before the 15th of June, but our main concern is the fact that the allegations that are being made engage protected journalistic activities, unquote. Jennifer Robinson, a lawyer for Assange, told CNN after the court adjourned on Thursday. She continued, quote, the allegation boiled down to, as we have heard in court, not about hacking. There is no suggestion that Julian Assange had actually hacked anything. What this is actually about is the fact that he had conversations with a source about releasing information, encouraged that source to provide more information, and talked to that source about protecting their identity. So, guys, what do you think? I mean, is this a high crime and misdemeanor? I mean, that's basically what the U.S. government's take is you talk to somebody who was trying to blow the whistle, and you may have encouraged them. I didn't see anything much more than that.
The best I can tell that Julian Assange is a journalist. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, not the most common of journalists, but one that got a very high profile. Yes. And that's willing to talk about things that other people aren't willing to talk about. I don't think there's a problem with a journalist necessarily telling their source how to get more information, how to cover their tracks as they get the information. Remember, there's essentially...
This is part of journalism. Yeah.
There's no
didn't
opportunity...
hire somebody to do this. This was a person who was already doing it.
There is no opportunity for somebody to blow a whistle in the United States. We've seen that over and over and over and over and over again. You can sit out there and yell at your radio that Chelsea Manning was, or you know, Private Manning. I prefer using that terminology because you know it was Bradley when she did it.
Right.
So
right.
Private Manning was some kind of criminal or whatever, you know, military oath, whatever you want to say. But there is no opportunity for a whistleblower to tell the truth in the United States. We don't have that country anymore if we ever had it. I don't think we ever did.
Yeah.
It's not about blowing whistle. It's not. There's no opportunity for it. So when you have a vacuum, something will fill that vacuum. You don't want your government to make a space for whistleblowers because your government certainly isn't, and you're not demanding it.
Right.
So then somebody's going to fill the vacuum. Julian Assange filled that vacuum. You want to go across the globe prosecuting people for filling a vacuum that we absolutely positively need? We need to know the truth. In a democracy, you're supposed to vote on the head. You're supposed to be the government. You're voting on the head of the government. How can you vote on the head of the government if you don't have the information? They're simply releasing information. Information nobody's ever said was a lie. The government lies to you every frickin' day.
Right.
Julian Assange tells you the truth and you want him put in prison. Who needs a prison cell here?
And this is why we need AR-15s, because the thing is, the government will not be accountable. The government will go to any lengths to avoid accountability. And, you know, I reread the Declaration of Independence recently, and if you reread the long train of abuses and usurpations, I believe, you will find that there are a lot of things that are going on today, including sending swarms of officers to eat out our subsistence. That means starving us with overregulation. There's a lot of that going on.
The Second Amendment was written by people who were willing to shoot their government center of mass.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the end of story. Like, you may
because
not like
they had
it,
been driven to that point.
It's the
there
truth.
Were decades of compromise and attempts to reconcile in peace because people would rather bear those ills they have than fly to others that they know not of most of the time. But it's not, you know, there comes a time when you've been pushed to the end and when you have to fight back, and that's where push comes to shove. And it's the person who is willing to do that who's going to win.
Well, we have to put ourselves in perspective. I mean, the tax on tea reached 2.5% or 3%.
Yeah. It's outrageous.
I mean, nobody would ever stand for that sort of taxation on
wasn't the only tax at that point. It was the straw that broke the camel's back. But your point is well taken that their overall tax burden was much lower than our overall tax burden. And you think of if all that money was being paid to produce things for people to consume instead of to produce bombs to kill people, where would our society be economically? I think we'd be a lot richer.
855-450-FREE. This is Free Talk Live. This is Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE. That's free as in Free Talk Live or free as in freedom. Either way, it doesn't cost anything to call the show and get on the air. And come up with the topic. If you don't like what we're talking about, change the subject. That's one of the cool things about this being one of the only true open phone shows on the air in America today. And we like that. We entertain calls from left, right, libertarian, socialist, you name it. We're happy to talk to you about politics or talk to you about nothing at all. That's all good. Mm-hmm. In studio, it's myself, Chris Rich, and Mark Edge. Dang it,
I'm going to be rich for you, aren't I?
I'm going to reinforce
it. It's okay, it's going to take a while.
Rich has assumed the nom de guerre of nobody. So with the hope of running as nobody for mayor, is that what you're shooting for, or are you going to run for something else?
I think my first attempt to the beginning of my political career will be to run for mayor. Once I'm done as mayor, I think I'm probably going to consider going for governor. But the other thing is I may look to, I know that Vermin Supreme is looking for a running mate. So I may consider a Vermin Nobody, slate. Anything could happen. Anything could happen. Nobody can stop us now.
855-450-FREE. Would you vote for nobody for pretty much any political office?
Well, that's kind of the overarching idea is eventually you could form a quasi-political party by changing your name legally to nobody, all of us, and running for different offices in different states. So who do you vote for? Vote for nobody. And the thing is, that way they can't keep us off their ballots because we can masquerade as Democrats, Republicans, Libertarians, Green, but, you know.
So is the idea that you won't take office if you run as nobody?
No. I will take office and I will dismantle as much of the government as I have time to dismantle while I'm in government, starting with the most egregious things. And the reason I'm starting with the most egregious things is I need votes from a lot of people who are less radical than I am. Okay, so they don't want me to complete my goal, but that's okay because I can't complete my goal of an orderly dismantling of the Keene City Council. Sooner or later, I'll be stopped.
You can
and
leave it.
That's fine. So what I want to tell them is just keep voting for me until you think you're a little bit too free.
Can't do that. Can't vote for Rich Paul. Vote for nobody.
Vote for nobody.
Exactly. That's much better.
That's me.
And that's a beauty. You can do your little part to do no harm.
Yeah.
You know, it's sort of a Hippocratic oath for a
libertarian. Well, it's not just that, but nobody cares about the wars. Nobody cares about the poor. Nobody cares about ending the war.
Oh, there are people that do. Those
nobody
are called
will
victims.
End the welfare state. Well, nobody will do these things.
Nobody will?
And that's why he's running. Because nobody loves you when you're down.
Absolutely. We're going to continue a little bit more from this piece on Assange, and we'll take more of your phone calls. Mounting a defense, a strict extradition request from the UK from outside the European Union are governed by Part 2 of the Extradition Act of 2003. When reviewing a U.S. extradition claim, it will not be for the UK courts to determine culpability. A judge only determines whether the U.S. request satisfies, quote, the dual criminality, that's a legal requirement, meaning that the alleged crime is illegal in both countries. The judge would also,
I'm sure
have,
it is.
Also have to consider if granting extradition would breach Assange's human rights.
I mean, how are you defining illegal? Because like the British do have a document called the Magna Carta. They don't have a written constitution, but the Magna Carta is still supposed to be in place.
It is common law.
Yeah. And I believe that under common law, there is a right to free speech. What we've got in our Constitution didn't come out of a vacuum. A lot of it grew out of the Magna Carta and the beliefs about rights of Greek and Roman society.
Well, they're claiming Assange did was try to log into an account that wasn't his. Right. So,
as long as the UK has a...
That's true, but isn't that part of freedom of the press? I would argue that it is.
Well, they can have that they can have that argument.
The difference between pornography and prostitution is publication of speech. If you're doing it for the intent of protecting of speaking, then you're...
I think the best bet here, Rich, is to understand that lawyers, or liars, as we call them down south, are just a bunch of criminals, that politicians are a bunch of lawyers, and that the crap they've written down on pieces of paper is a smokescreen for them to do their dirty work.
I agree with you as to the political realities of the situation, but the reason that I'm insisting on the point... On this point is people say that, oh, well, you know, the Constitution, protects us from violations of our freedom of the press. Well, here is a point where the Constitution is not protecting somebody, and a lot of people don't know that the Supreme Court is lying. So I guess that's the side that I'm taking is... You're pointing out that they're lying. I'm telling them what the truth is, because people need to know that. People need to know. Read what the founding fathers really said about the Second Amendment, and it will leave absolutely no doubt in your mind that the courts are lying to you over and over and over again. Donald Trump is absolutely right that the media is the enemy of the people.
Right, and it's very clear when you look at the founding fathers why they felt a... free press was necessary. This is a bulwark against tyranny. That's how the press was seen. These are the people that are going to take the risks to get the unpopular things that government says and does out in front of the people, who then have the Second Amendment to take back government, to create anew if they need to.
Yeah, it's the First Amendment that gives you the right to go out in the streets, or not gives you, because governments don't grant you rights, and,
right.
and documents don't grant you rights, but they are promises from the government not to violate these rights, and governments violating them is violating them left and right. But we have to be able to back up our First Amendment with our Second Amendment, because when they start taking our free speech away... And they have been taking our free speech away for a long time. And when they take our weapons away, we have to fight back.
Indeed. 855-450-FREE. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how the whole Assange thing plays out. I hope that he is able to beat this extradition. I hope that he gets tied up in the courts in England. Because I dare say that anywhere is going to be better for him than in the United States.
So England can hold him pending extradition, which means that he could be in jail for a very long time.
Do you know what Hamlet's uncle did when he decided he wanted him killed?
What's that?
He sent him off to England with a couple of guards and a letter to the English king saying, "This nephew of mine has become inconvenient. Would you mind whacking his head off like a good chap?" So there's also a possibility that Assange won't come alive out of an English prison. Not that they can't do that here.
Right.
But the thing about having it be a foreign prison is it gives plausible deniability to the United States. And the United States is the alpha wolf in this alliance.
I would hope that the UK just leaves it at the 50 weeks and says, come on, guys, really? I know the odds of that are slim.
Who knows? I don't know what the odds of anything are.
Right. We were talking about cryptocurrency and we couldn't predict tomorrow's price.
I think I think mostly it depends on what Assange's lawyers are saying to Trump.
Yeah, and what Trump's direction is to the UK, because there's a wags the dog thing going on here. And
I do wonder if Assange has some kind of canary, you know, or whatever the thing is that basically a little extra info that would be highly useful if you got in a tight circumstance.
I certainly would, and that's the great thing about having a source who's dead. Is you don't have to be that afraid of naming them. I don't know what he feels his ethical responsibility for that would be, but
they have these things called dead man switches,
right?
Where, you know, if I die, this information goes out.
If Hillary Clinton whacked me and Julian Assange knew, I would want him to tell, definitely.
This has been a long-standing conspiracy theory that if anything happens to Julian, then all sorts of information will be released. All I can say is I don't wish him dead. I do want to see what that might be, if it does exist. 855-450-FREE. More when we return, and your phone calls. This is Free Talk Live.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've run websites since 1996 and have used over a dozen web hosts in that time. AgristHosting.com is the only one that hasn't broken my heart. Agrist Hosting's uptime and service is stellar, and their DDoS mitigation is the best I've seen. That's important because if you tell the truth in this world, you'll ruffle feathers. And some people will try dirty tricks to silence your voice. No matter what the haters hit us with, Agrist Hosting keeps our websites online. If you have a mission-critical commercial presence or a world-changing activism site, you cannot tolerate any skullduggery. So go with agristhosting.com. Have a WordPress or blog site, but you're not satisfied with performance or uptime, or just want raw hosting? Want to pay with Bitcoin? Agrist Hosting specializes in high-performance hosting with personalized service. Go to agristhosting.com and click on the button that says Get Hosted. That's agristhosting.com.
This is Free Talk Live, hour number 3. Time flies when you're having fun. 855-450-FREE. Free as in freedom. Free as in Free Talk Live. 855-450-FREE. This is Chris, joined in studio with...
Nobody.
And Mark. Nobody, formerly the artist, formerly known as Rich Paul.
I am the artist, formerly known as Rich Paul.
There you go. but with political aspirations.
Now the performance artist, formerly known as Rich Paul.
Exactly. With aspirations of political change, Rich has decided to change his name to Nobody with the hopes that Nobody will be voted for. And if you have the choice, would you vote for your current politicians or would you vote for Nobody? I think it's a good idea. I'm game.
Nobody hopes nothing happens.
Nobody. Oh, this is just confusing. So
it is, isn't it? I think I might be quite mad by the time I'm done with the charade.
Well, someone else who's very mad is Ben Shapiro. Ben Shapiro has been facing some threats. Mark, you have more on that story.
Yeah, I mean, if those who don't know Ben Shapiro, he's become pretty wildly popular in the last couple of years. Conservative commentator, young guy. And apparently somebody was threatening him. So the story here from FoxNews.com.
It wasn't me.
Yeah, well, it says a man was arrested in Washington State on Wednesday after reportedly making death threats against conservative talk show host Ben Shapiro. Shapiro told Fox News he couldn't comment on pending legal proceedings but confirmed the situation, as reported by TMZ on Twitter, thanking law enforcement for their quick and hard work here. The suspect reportedly threatened both Shapiro and his family. Sources told the outlet that the threats were extremely serious. Shapiro, who currently serves as editor-in-chief of the Daily Wire and hosted an election show on Fox News last year, filed a report with the Los Angeles Police Department related to the threats, according to TMZ. So the suspect was arrested in Washington State. He filed a report with Los Angeles Police Department. I don't know where this Shapiro guy lives, but my presumption is that he filed it with the organization in the town he lives.
One would think.
So I don't know. Maybe he lives in Chicago and filed it with the L.A. Police Department for no reason at all. But they didn't pick him up in L.A., the perpetrator. So and I guess there's a little banter here about the hat that Shapiro was wearing in the picture. And that's really about it. It was a joint task force with the FBI and, the agency, along with the FBI, reported creating a joint task force to search for the suspect. And that's it. So I want to know, why does law enforcement spring into action and bring down this guy who I would imagine threatened Shapiro relatively recently, right, compared to the guy who's been threatening me and my family for 5 years?
That's a good point.
And they, I was told by the Keene Police Department when I reported it locally that I needed to call the folks in Phoenix, as though I need to know where the person who is threatening me is. So then I called the Phoenix, right, Police Department. They told me to call Keene.
Because otherwise they would have to investigate.
Right. Well,
and that would be too much like police work.
Right. That's, I suspect, is the reason. And so then I called the Phoenix Police Department. They told me, sorry, we can't do anything. You have to go to your local police department. So I dropped it for a little while. Then I called a lawyer in Phoenix to get a restraining order on the said person.
Right.
Just so that if they contacted me, a no contact order, if they contacted me again, I'd be able to say, look, he broke this law too.
Right.
So yeah, me and my family isn't enough.
Yeah. I wonder what the Keene police thought the Arizona police were going to do. Oh, yeah, we'll send a couple guys right over to take notes and shrug their shoulders. I mean, it's obviously, unless you're going to Arizona, the Arizona police knowing that this guy is threatening you really isn't useful, because the concern is that he would actually come here and do it. So it really was the Keene police.
I don't know who's supposed to do it, and it's not my job to
call the police.
Right. But the question of why do police jump into action when it's Ben Shapiro and not when it's Mark Edge and a wacko?
Ben Shapiro's got a lot of money, and that means they're getting a lot of phone calls.
Well, what's going to happen is they are going to get lots of press, and police are motivated by things like the opportunity for good press.
Right.
That is a motivating factor.
They're also motivated by sort of personal relationships. I'm known as somebody who critiques law enforcement here on Free Talk Live.
True.
And I'm also known as a free stater locally. Right. And thanks to my co-host Ian, that is a bit of a pejorative in town. And, I imagine these guys.
I mean, certainly for some it is, but
there was a time when police, law enforcement in New Hampshire was taking bets on how many free staters they could arrest, who could get the most.
That doesn't surprise me, okay. But it didn't. It didn't do them much good. And really, the Keene police were, I mean, they've always been, in my experience, the most decent.
They may be the most decent. I don't know. I haven't had a lot of experience with police outside of Keene, but the experience that I've had in New Hampshire with police has largely been in Keene. And I've had them stop me while recording a police encounter. I've had them, I've had them basically drop the ball in a case where they were investigating a vandalism on my car that was done here in the studio. Right. Wow. Best I can tell.
See,
they don't like me very much.
You find this stuff going on, or it happens to you. We should form a cop block squad.
I don't want to go bother these people. I don't want anything to do with them. And I suspect they're getting what they want.
Right. And I just
want them to do their job. They get paid very, very well. Pick up this Sergeant Ulas I called in 2015, and I can give you the date and the time. I actually posted on my Facebook page. This Sergeant Ulas wouldn't take the time to look at the Facebook page where I record for the last 5 years this mouth-breathing dullard and his threats on my family. Here, I'm quoting from March 20th. This has quotation marks around it. I'm going to hurt your family, is what he says to me. It's right there on Free Talk Live. I've got the date listed. I'm going to hurt you, Vincent. He's talking about a co-host here. He says, I can't wait.
Vincent?
Yes, Vincent. He hates everybody. He's insane.
God. Hating Vincent's like hating a puppy.
You're talking about you're applying rationality to an irrational situation.
I couldn't tell you.
There's
this,
nothing
this guy,
rational that prevents us from hating puppies. It's the irrational that makes us love them.
I am only tangentially related. Like, I've been a co-host here, and we've taken some calls from this individual. And I have faced page upon page of tirades from this guy. There's no rationality here, and I do think he is dangerous. Now, the reason why...
It's kind of hilarious that he just doesn't mess with me.
I'm going to repeat this one more time. It's because you're not Ben Shapiro, and it's because these guys want things they can brag about. And I'm talking about the police. They want to go home at the end of the day and say, honey, hey, I had to work the Ben Shapiro case. I'm going to brag to my buddies when I go bowling that we're working on the Ben Shapiro case. Nobody's going to brag about the Mark Edge case.
Nope, they aren't. I would concur with you, and I think that that's it just goes to show that, you know, some animals are more equal than others in this little farm.
Yes. And I would argue that should be the case to some extent. I mean, when you think about it, consider an ANCAP protection agency. If you pay them more for your policy, then they're going to devote more energy to getting you back because they want you to keep paying.
But this particular is the opposite.
But this particular protection agency won't let me protect myself. Yeah. This particular organization will enforce the felon in possession of firearms statutes that exist and tell me I can't own a gun. But at the same time, they won't log on to a computer and look at a page that I asked them to look at.
Yeah, all they are is collectors of protection money.
Right, there's police right now that are listening to the show. We know they call all the time.
Yeah.
That aren't going to do anything about this case.
Well, I got something to say to you guys. There's going to come a time when there's a revolution in this country, officers. And guess what? It's none of your business. There's a right to revolution, which means that if and when there is a revolution, it's law enforcement's duty to stand down and let the military handle it.
If anybody has any questions about this, please go to Facebook, look up Things James Wittekind Says. That's Things James Wittekind Says, and you will see 5 years worth of quotations.
He's not exaggerating. Believe me, I've seen it too. 855-450-FREE. This is Free Talk Live. This is Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE, in our third hour tonight, joined with nobody, formerly the artist formerly known as Rich Paul and Mark Edge. And
the nobody formerly known as Rich Paul. that'll be my full name.
We've been all over the board. We've been talking cryptocurrencies. We have been talking people's impressions of cryptocurrencies. We were talking Julian Assange and some other things.
And Ben Shapiro.
And lately we have been talking Ben Shapiro and how Ben Shapiro immediately warrants immediate police, local and federal reaction
when somebody threatens him. Yes, yeah, so somebody threatens him and his family and he gets immediate police reaction. I've been waiting for something close to 5 years for law enforcement to do something about this guy who's been calling the show, writing emails, calling my personal phone. I mean, every form of contact you can imagine this person has attempted and probably been successful with.
Have you considered just having him taken out of the game? I mean, it must have crossed your mind.
No, I don't.
Really?
All I want him to do is
shut up. It's occurred to me, and I'm not even in your shoes.
Let me read. Okay, so I've got a question for you guys, and it's a legal question. But first, let me read this. So this is just an excerpt from something he wrote. This is him talking to Vincent on Questioning Authority, the 39th episode.
Okay.
This I posted on March 20th. I haven't even scrolled back. I mean, there's probably a couple hundred of these posts.
Sure.
I'm going to hurt
and
you,
this
Vince.
Is Question Authority. This is a college student's show.
Yes.
This is a kid who's like using our studios to put his ideas out. And he's saying,
I'm going to hurt you, Vincent, with my bare hands. You've been lying about me for years. You're going to pay for it. And a 10-year-old kid is going to have his life ruined because of it. I'm going to love watching him scream and cry in horror. I'm going to love watching Jack Edgington. This is the name of my son.
Yes.
Scream. So this guy is, I don't know exactly what he's threatening.
Why is this guy still breathing, bro? Do you need to thumb through my Rolodex?
Well, that's the thing, is that I'd have to go find him. He will not come here. He will threaten and threaten and threaten.
Which I think is a good thing.
But I don't know what he means when he says it precisely. But he says my son's name, talks about screaming in horror, crying. He'll use all kinds of terminology. So do we have a threat here, gentlemen?
Yes.
Okay, great.
Absolutely. This is a clear and present danger. If you flew to Arizona and whacked this guy, I would say you are justified, although I warn you, the courts would not.
I suspect they would not.
Right.
So let me ask you this. I'm sort of asking what the courts might think on this, Rich and Chris. We know the doctrine of the greater good. If a convicted felon, like myself, right. is in a room, there happens to be a gun, James Whittakine shows up at the door with an axe, right?
Right.
Steps into the house, axe, there's a gun nearby, I pick it up, I can use it, right?
I've already caught that case, so let me give you an answer. The situation was, I was on Nakeen Common, I picked up an iron bar and drove off three attackers. And it was a monopod that you mounted a camera on, but it was an iron bar. My probation, they tried to violate it for being a felon in possession of a weapon, and the judge found that because I was engaged in an act of self-defense, I had every right to pick up that weapon. You are not expected to bend over and die.
So let me ask you this. Now that we know that that's true, so there's a threat, an immediate threat, how immediate does a threat need to be? If he calls you up and he says he's down at the end of the street, can you then arm up?
Absolutely.
If he says he's coming over tonight,
you received word from a private investigator that is researching this guy, and I hope you've got a private investigator looking into this guy.
I don't.
If not, I suggest you find one, and you get because this guy may be breaking some law, and if he is, your private investigator needs to find it out and report it to the police. I mean, he may be doing something, maybe he's doing drugs, something they care about, unlike threatening people. So if you can find out that he's doing drugs instead of threatening people, maybe the police will come and arrest this guy.
So if somebody presents sort of an existential threat, and this is what you've claimed he presents at this point, at the very least, my family.
Yes.
And thus to me, can you then arm up in the long term? Can I strap on a weapon every single day? Because
if I had a child, this guy would be buried in the desert, my brother. That's my ethical answer to you.
I understand, and I do not disagree with you that could be the case. I'm just asking from a legal standpoint. Where does it end? When does the immediate threat part end, and when does a sort of long-term threat thing? I don't even know how to describe it.
When he's engaged in the act of attempted murder, which is he's taken at least one positive step toward achieving his goal, because attempted murder is intent to kill plus at least one step. It can be just going out and buying a weapon is attempted murder if you've bought the weapon for the purpose of killing somebody.
Right, but one could argue that gassing up his vehicle because he's threatened to drive here and break your arms and kill
exactly.
you.
Exactly. If he's set out on the journey, that's an act.
Right, but the point is, right, and how is a court going to decide that? Now, personally, if this were against me and my family, I would be less worried about courts.
I get where you guys are coming from. The difficulty here is that I can't, don't know where to show up.
Right.
And if I were to show up somewhere and do something, then I'm going to be in a far more tenuous legal condition. Let's not forget that this has been going on for 5 years.
Right.
If this guy were going to do something physical, he likely would have done it already.
Right.
So, you know, every day actually makes the threat less viable, not more. And right. He ramped up over time. Like, I don't even know how to describe this.
I know. I've been following it, too. You know, fortunately, not exactly. At least it didn't start out. I wasn't the target of his vitriol. But it didn't take long for me to become a target, another target.
You didn't. Well, you did not sufficiently agree with and this. I should go back and point out why this guy's angry. Mm-hmm. He's angry because I do not sufficiently agree with his position that Japan needed to be bombed in World War II.
Yes.
Like, this is how knuck and futz this dude is that he thinks it's important to harm an 11-year-old kid. And he's been threatening this kid
for
most of his life.
Bazy.
Over.
Yeah.
Over,
over this minute point of history, essentially.
Right,
like,
exactly.
There's nothing I can say on nationally syndicated radio that can change the reality of what occurred, but his dad's opinion on this subject is different than mine, so I must die.
Yeah. That's not remotely rational.
Right.
And we've known it's not. The question is what should you be legally allowed to do to defend yourself? And this is why I hate this law that says that a felon can never again be armed. Uh-huh. That is the conversation we should be having.
But this is true for many people in many states, though. I mean, there are states where you cannot arm yourself. If I was in...
It's true in every state. It's true under federal law.
Well, it's also...
Federal law. I don't mean just felons. I'm talking about anybody. If you're in New York City, if I was living in New York City and this nut job threatened me and my family, I couldn't strap on a gun to defend myself.
Yeah. Which means that in the eyes of the state, you are not a gentleman. You're a serf.
Well, that's clear.
Yeah, the insanity is, and I hope you take this seriously. Your wife faces none of these restrictions and should be armed to the teeth, preferably in easy reach should things happen that need your intervention. 855-450-FREE. What do you think? What do you think? Should Mark be allowed to defend himself against a clear and present?
I want to know whether I legally am allowed.
Right, exactly. 855-450-FREE. This is Free Talk Live.
Are you concerned that liberty, free market economics, and the values that made America great are no longer taught in schools? Well, so am I. So I got my son the Tuttle Twins children's book series.
My name is Jack, and I'm 11 years old, and I just started the Tuttle Twins. So far, I have learned that some people can use the government to ruin the economy and destroy people's businesses.
Give all the young people in your life a chance at reason and clear thought, because they're not going to get it at school. There are 9 books in the series, and each one teaches a set of ideas that children aren't getting elsewhere. Go to TuttleTwins.com and use coupon code FTL to get 40% off. Again, that's Tuttle Twins.
This is Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE. And Mark's been seeking some advice. I can't say legal advice because Mark knows that I'm not an attorney, and nobody, the artist formerly known as Rich Paul, now goes as nobody, which is making things really confusing around here.
Nobody expected this.
Nobody is an attorney. It's not an attorney. Nobody is not an attorney. See, this does. It's going to take a while.
Nobody is not an attorney.
It's going to take a while for us to wrap our heads around this, but we are going to go to your calls.
Nobody expects us to get it right the first time.
There we go. I think we will consistently get this new nom de guerre wrong. We're going to Tom in New Hampshire. Tom, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
Some people misunderstand a certain point, and I've seen happening on news stories and such, which is, let's say you're sitting in a chain restaurant minding your own business, and some people come wandering on in there making all kinds of noise and, you know, using profanity and clowning around and causing trouble, and they walk over to you because you go to the same school as they do, and you just want them to get away. When the cops come, they tell all of you to leave. Because the manager points out all of them got
to
go.
Okay. That's happened
now,
to me.
Well, the cops are, you know, the manager decides who has to leave. Okay? The manager represents the owner of the place. And the cop's job is not to care why the manager said you have to leave. That way every property owner gets the same service. Just like, how would you like it if you told somebody to leave your house and then... When the cops show up, they say, well, that's no reason to tell somebody to leave your house. That's no good. So,
right. No, I agree with you, Tom. This is a fairly clear example of property rights.
Yeah.
The property rights issue, which they're actually applying correctly on that one, and there are orthodox libertarian chess moves, such as making a fuss on the Internet or logging onto that chain's website and see if you can get the manager fired. But or file, you get the cop's badge numbers because they are witnesses if there's a discrimination lawsuit going on. But if you're going to sue the restaurant for discrimination because, you know, all five of those black people have to leave, the four clowns that wandered in and the one innocent one who was already sitting there minding their own business. Okay, so that's why what I'm getting at is the cops take an unfair rap on that, and it's important to be fair and specify that's not a valid gripe against the cops. The cops chose to sign up in a state that still refuses to repeal an abundance of blatantly unjust laws, and that's
right.
Why they deserve to be exterminated.
But do they not have an well, one could also argue sort of a constitutional 14th Amendment equal protection that if the police were going to provide a service, they should provide it to all equally. In other words, Mark's case is just as important as Ben Shapiro's. What do you think about that?
Oh, yeah.
And let me take issue with a word you used right there. The word you used was exterminated, and I don't think that's the word you're looking for, or at least it's not the word that I'm looking for in that. Although I do believe in fighting for our rights, the bottom line is military people and police need to be converted to the right side. You know, that's the thing to me. And a lot of times that happens when a government gets sufficiently corrupt, the military steps away from the civilian power structure and says, no, you guys are out of your minds. You're not doing this anymore. And there's a coup. That would be a reasonable possibility. I want to see states secede without bloodshed, I guess is what I'm trying to say. I don't want to see anybody exterminated.
We would hope.
Well, take a tour of the Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C., and see what happened when people waited too long before they started killing cops. And that's exactly what the Gestapo are, because Gestapo is short for some German words that mean secret state police.
Yeah. You see, the thing is, there may be no waiting too long. What they did is they waited too long to arm themselves. And this goes directly back to Mark's point. They waited too long to arm themselves because any of these people, when the Gestapo was at their door, when their children were terrified, when their wives were terrified, they would have fought back. But all they had was kitchen knives. And guess what? In Britain, they're trying to take even that away.
Tom, thanks for the call. It's a good point, and I think we as a society probably have waited too long. It's a shame. We're going to stay on the
phones. We haven't waited too long because we can still obtain firearms, bro.
We hope so, but they're trying to make that very, very difficult to do. Sarah in New Mexico. Sarah, you're on Free Talk Live.
I just want to mention a lady pedestrian was killed last night around 11:30 here.
Here being in Albuquerque, New Mexico?
Yeah, on Central. Yeah, on Central Boulevard.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Well, you know, would you guys come out here for a vacation and get hit by a car so I could prove to you that we're number one in pedestrian fatality.
That's one statistic I really don't want to contribute.
I'll believe your statistic either way. Do you really want to run me over with a car? Okay, so tell me this. Would you agree that if a government becomes a tyrannical, the people have a right to overthrow it by force?
Well, yeah, we're coming to that, right? We're going to have a civil war here in America pretty soon.
I think we're getting
sides.
I really do. Yeah, I agree. I've never agreed with you on anything before, Sarah. I feel not close, but closer to you now.
I don't agree. Who are going to be the sides, Sarah?
Well, the thing is, you know what? People really believe that, they're never going to take Social Security and Medicaid. Well, how come they keep talking about it? I heard it another five more times that
they don't even have a choice. Social Security and Medicaid are going broke.
So sorry.
I heard a joke about them. You probably won't get it.
One day it's going to be really gone. But here's the thing. Nobody believes it. They're like, they've been saying that for 30 years. Well, they're telling you that because they're going to do it pretty soon.
Sarah, I got to ask. So you're very concerned, and you believe that the government will indeed take away your Social Security. Do you believe that the government will attempt to take my firearms? Or do you support that? Do you support them taking my guns away? Like the gun that's on my hip, like the 9mm that I carry everywhere I go.
Well, I do, because you know what? All the people, they're burying all their guns, they're hiding it. You know, they've been doing that for 30 years.
Has it not occurred to you that in the event of civil war, anybody without firearms is doomed? Has that even crossed your delightfully twisted little mind?
No.
I'm just saying, legally, I would like gun control. But all the people that are getting, they're already stocked up, piled up, burying it, hiding it in caves. Or
right.
They're hiding all the guns already. They're ready to go already. People know that it's coming.
Well, but why would you want, are you an advocate for gun control then? Or no?
We only shot like 114 people.
Compared to the traffic fatalities.
Yeah, in 4 months. Like, we're going to go into the April. I mean, that's a lot of people to get shot. So we need gun control. But you know what? You know, the cars kill more people than guns ever do. How come I'm the only one that calls and talks about it?
Are you familiar with the group Moms Against Cars? They want reasonable, common sense car regulation. You should go on Facebook and check out Moms Against Cars.
Sarah, thank you for your call. 855-450-FREE, our final segment. We got one caller in queue, but who knows? You may be able to get on the air. 855-450-FREE. This is Free Talk Live. This is Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE. You may be able to get your call in our final minutes of this show tonight. And in studio, we have myself, Chris.
Nobody.
And Mark.
And Mark. Nobody, the artist formerly known as Rich Paul, who is changing
nobody
his...
Nobody does it better.
Man, see the slogans.
They just roll off the tongue.
You're writing these down, I hope.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Good, good, good.
And your troubles, because nobody knows the troubles you've seen.
So this just has to be. I mean, should you fail to gain public office, you may be able to come up with a good book out of this and make
nobody will be brokenhearted.
Nobody? Nobody will be brokenhearted.
Nobody will be brokenhearted.
Oh, my gosh. Well,
nobody is making any attempt to be ambiguous.
Nobody is. We are going to go to the phones where we've got David in New Mexico. David, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
Oh, lots of stuff. Thanks for the memories.
No problem. Make it quick. I got a couple calls to get to, but what's going on?
Yeah, your artist formerly known as, I used to date Prince's art director.
And, really? If I ever met him, I wanted to call him Squiggle. You're Squiggle. Oh, my God.
Yeah. You're the dude. Yeah,
hey, imagine this. A friend of mine, co-worker of mine. Well, first of all, we used to fly him. I used to fly for a charter jet operator, and we used to fly him in our company. He had Sheena Easton with him one time, too.
Oh, neat.
And I used to get invited to Paisley Park to when Prince wanted to shoot a video, he would just put out the word, and then everybody would just show up. I never got to go, though, because I was always busy working, but anyhow. Nice. Oh, and you're talking about Squiggle. A coworker of mine, when Prince was about 13, if you can picture that, he was a friend of mine was a horn player, professional horn player, amongst other things, and he went to a little home studio somewhere in, I think it was North Minneapolis, and because they needed a horn player for a session, mm-hmm. and there was this little mulatto kid running around doing this, doing that, doing the other thing, And my friend asked one of the adults there, you know, who's this kid? You know, and the dude said, just call him Prince. And so that was back when, in the very beginning of Prince's career, he was working in that studio.
Wow. Got to start somewhere. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing.
So you want to talk about corruption?
Yeah, but that'll I got you piqued my interest with some other stuff. First of all, oh, as long as we're on Memory Road, Rich, you mentioned you're a fan of Breaking Bad. Did you see me in Breaking Bad?
Did I? Who are you?
Who am I? I'm just some. I was a stand-in for Hank, the bald guy. So I had my head.
Well, I saw Hank, the bald guy, in Breaking Bad, so I may have seen you.
That could have been David from.
But I wouldn't have known it if you did it right.
Right.
That's right.
Exactly.
Anyway, you should check out.
Were you the guy with the underwear from behind? Was that were you a bum stand-in?
Well, that sounds about right, but no, I was at Walt's birthday party in Walt's house in the pilot, the very, very, very first episode. He had a birthday party in his house, and he was there, and Hank was there, and his wife, and Hank's wife, and their kid. Yeah, and we're all in the living room having a shot of whiskey.
So why did they shoot you instead of Walter White's actor whose name escapes me?
David, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Jeff in New Mexico, calling. He's listening on KABQ, wants to talk about the Civil War. Jeff, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. Just real quick, I'm curious, what does this Civil War look like? I mean, who is fighting who in that Civil War?
That's what I want to know.
What I expect Civil War to look like is I expect that at some point, and it can break out over anything. I mean, V for Vendetta is an example of a possible play out for a Civil War where there's just one piece of violence too many, and some population or another just boils over and riots start. Well, if the police cannot silence those riots, then the police are no longer in charge, and other people are going to come out in the streets, and it's anybody's guess who's going to win that sort of conflagration. The other thing
But at some point, I'm not so much wondering about how it starts.
Right.
But, you know, I'm just trying to boil it down to who is fighting who. I mean, if it's the American military.
Well, we don't know because.
Again.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
What
Jeff.
Else would it be? I mean, who else would it be? At some point, it's the American military against a civil uprising, in which case, what good is your 9mm on your hip going to do, or for that matter, your cache of assault rifles? Or anything else? I mean, do you guys?
Well, let me answer that question for you real quick. There's 320 million Americans, of which 1.5 million are active duty police or military. That means for every police and military, there are 200 men or 200 humans on Earth. Now, you tell me if one man is going to stand off, say, 66 men with 9mm with an M16, would you want to be one man with an M16 or would you want to be one of the 66 with an AR-15?
I'd rather be one man in an M1A1 man flying a... You know,
well,
I'd
you would,
one
but once those things is immobilized, you can run people
in a plane that has a Gatling gun that fires 4,200 rounds a minute of depleted uranium.
Yeah,
I would rather be that one, man.
I would like to not be a person who lives in a country that would do that. I will agree with you that there is no standing up against the United States military. I'm not rich.
I disagree.
I think that there's a scenario that one can write in a fiction book that stands up, but I don't think that with 240 years of the things the government's done to the American people that you're going to find anything new that they're going to finally stand up over. I don't see it.
I think we live in a great country where we have a lot of freedoms, and I think that.
Do you think
we're getting more free or less free over time?
Well, it depends. You know what? I think we're plenty free.
Free enough.
Well, you know, we live in a complex society. You know, when you start
like the kind of answer that somebody gives who wants to take more freedoms.
Yeah. And has it occurred to you that over-government is one of the reasons it's so complex?
Go ahead.
No, I think the reason it's so complex is because there are 330 million of us. And you know, it is a complex equation.
I
think the answer is we never get to civil war if we can sit down and develop policies based on evidence. Evidence-based policy.
Okay.
Not some ideological whatever. Okay, you know, but... Yeah.
Can I pause?
Well,
Hold on, let me posit one thing to you. There is a theory that governments countries tend to become too big to be governable anymore, and that's my concern, that the country is too big and that we have a government that's grown too big and too ineffective to protect rights. That's my biggest concern, and that's not a left thing or a right thing. It's for all of us.
And polarized to the point of outright hatred.
If I may.
Please.
You're right, we are. And so if I may, I think there's this polarization because it's left or it's right. It's with me or it's against me.
Right.
How about not smaller government is better, not bigger government is better, but right-sized government is best based on evidence, based on 200 years of empirical data.
Well, let me give you what I've learned.
We run ideology.
Well, I'll tell you. Go ahead.
Three people trying to talk.
I'm going
to
go ahead and do it.
You're on, Mark.
The fact is that we've got 200 years of evidence. We've got 9,000 years of evidence that the rich and powerful will take the reins of government every single time. And I'd love to hear a time when they didn't. I want to be one piece of evidence that says that the rich and powerful don't run the government when the government exists long enough.
Now, what I've got is 400 years.
Let me answer.
That ebbs and flows. Okay, I'm sorry. I thought you were asking.
No, I am actually asking. I'm asking you, how do you think you're ever going to get past an oligarchy when you keep talking about empowering the government?
Well, because the oligarchy doesn't exist in the government. It exists in corporate America.
Corporations are created by the government.
You're absolutely wrong. The government is owned and operated by the corporations. That means every single politician is their operative. If they weren't their operative, they wouldn't have been elected.
Get rid of Citizens United.
Not. Because what you're saying is that you can't
Rich, stop it for a second. You go back to Citizens United, you have a country that is still not free, that's just from a few years ago.
Jeff, thank you so much for the call.
Please call back, Jeff.
The time we have left, but Jeff, please give us a call back.
You can't grow the government and create freedom.
Impossible.
Absolutely.
Thanks for tuning in. This is Free Talk Live.
All right, it's another edition of the Edgington Post Show. I am Mark Edge here for Free Talk Live. I've got with me Dr. Gatza. Dr. Julie Gatza. You there, Doctor?
I am.
Thanks, Dr. Julie. I appreciate that. So you're here today to tell me how to kick my sugar habit.
You got it.
Well, so what's...
One of the things that... I hear
sugar's a poison, right? Like it's a low-dose, slow poison. But I must say I'm pretty thoroughly addicted to it.
Well, many people are. And, you know, I'm not a complete zealot on this one, but I do know that many people have sugar problems and have tried to handle it, or losing weight or get their energy back or whichever it is that they're trying to do to get off the sugar. One of the things that they're very unaware of that's so commonplace is there's a yeast overgrowth in their body. And the yeast actually demands sugar to live. So a lot of times they think they have such no willpower. And really there is something else happening in the system that's just demanding that they eat sugar in any form.
So does it live in your gut?
Or fruit. Yeah, lives in your gut. And we all have a normal colony of yeast in our digestive system,
sure.
But it gets balanced with good bacteria. When we've been on even one course of antibiotics, even as a kid, and some of our bad habits and, you know, our stressful lifestyles and our poor quality of food, this yeast gets imbalanced. The bacteria gets wiped out when you take antibiotics. Now the yeast has an overgrowth, and this is what causes this one of the symptoms is sugar cravings.
So what does one do about this? This is the Candida yeast that I've heard about?
Yep, the Candida. And
Candida
it happens in everyone's system, but when it gets overgrowth, you have things like unexplainable rashes, and you have the things that no one wants to talk about, like the urinary tract infections and the vaginitis and the jock itch and the athlete's foot. And then you have things like can't lose weight, have no energy, you know, loss of desire for sex and all these different things. And it's all because this yeast is actually playing upon your metabolism at such a level you feel kind of like a loser.
What does one do about this yeast? It doesn't sound like it has many positive aspects.
Well, there's nothing good about it when it's overgrown. But I've treated patients for 28 years. And in the past couple of years, I found this product called Colorex. It's K-O-L-O-R-E-X. And Colorex is this vitamin or this herb that you take, and it kills the yeast colonies within a month or two of taking it. I've never seen anything work this quickly on the yeast, ever.
Huh. So where does one go get this Colorex stuff?
They can get it at a company called Nature's Sources, and if they get onto the naturessources.com website, or they can call a 1-800 number, which is 1-800-827-7656, and they can ask for 20% off if they use the code radio. But, I mean, we used to treat this, you know, where people would come in with their rolling suitcases full of nutrition and vitamins to have me, you know, figure out what they need and all the over-the-counter medications and things like this for this overgrowth of yeast. And this Colorex truly wipes it out in a month or two.
Any other tips for getting off the sugar habits?
You know, the biggest thing that people are doing is they're skipping breakfast. And instead of having something that's actually sane, not an excusable breakfast, but, you know, some protein of any kind, eggs, bacon, sausage, I don't care. If they skip the just having a cup of coffee and a bagel and ready to roll and then don't eat until dinner, it's a mistake. You're going to have sugar crashes from doing that. And then you're absolutely bound to need some quick energy, and that's where the body actually says also, hey, I need something, and you grab, you know, the next, you know, sandwich or piece of toast or candy bar in your drawer or another cup of coffee or a pop, and, you know, you do all this, and now you're on a sort of a slippery slope. So eat protein, heavy protein in the morning, try to knock out your coffee, your teas, and drink a lot more water. And just that, you'll be amazed if you tried to drink a gallon of water a day, how much less hungry you'd be and how much less craving you'd be.
So when you say knock out coffee, do you mean knock out sugary coffee and tea? Do you mean sugary coffee and tea, or do you mean just...
You had to just go on that one.
Yes, I have
to. I mean coffee. Yeah. In general, coffee, decaf or not, causes an imbalance of the pH system in the digestive system.
Okay.
So when that occurs, you don't absorb nutrition. I treat a lot of chronic problems as a doctor, and out of all the years, the one thing that I can tell them is it's very almost impossible to correct the real thing you came in with when you drink coffee, tea, and pop. And once they get off of it, lo and behold, all the things that they were doing now work.
So it doesn't sound like you're a big fan of this intermittent fasting that's going around. People skipping breakfast and, you know, sometimes skipping, having one meal a day. There's a version called OMAD or four hours a day that they eat called the Warrior Diet or the 16-8 method and a variety of these other ones. And they're very big on the consumption of coffee during
That's true. It's probably the only thing on those diets that I would disagree with. I do like the intermittent fasting because it does put discipline in. It does make people aware of what they are eating and what times they're eating. And fine, that's a whole other situation that we're talking about as far as a purposeful diet. But I do know that when people are consuming coffee or caffeine in any form, it does jack up their adrenal glands. And yes, you can have them jacked up and get them working really hard for some time, but we are doing that anyhow to our bodies. So we don't need one more thing to jack it up. We really want to relax them so that all the hormones in the body start to work the way it's supposed to, not because it's been stuck with a pin and told to work harder.
So what about snacks? I mean, I think sugar tends to, although sugar is in a lot of prepared foods, and when you go to restaurants, you don't know what they're providing you with. But I think a lot of people are going for sugar in snacks.
It's true. And, you know, I mean, a hard-boiled egg is probably the smartest thing you could ever bring. You can put it in a paper bag. You can put it in a lunchbox. You can put it in your purse. And if you have a hard-boiled egg, it's the perfect food. You can have a bag of, you know, whole organic nuts. Try to avoid peanuts. They're not so great on the digestion. But almonds and cashews are better for you. You know, if you took 5 minutes out and you washed and cleaned some carrot sticks, some celery, and some green peppers and cut them up, you'd be amazed at how much better you'd feel if you would snack on those things. And the body just needs a snack. It doesn't need you know, a carbohydrate-laden sugar, iced, you know, whatever, going into the system. It just needs something just to tide it over until you're having your next real meal.
So what are some of the benefits that I could expect from, you know, cutting sugar out of my diet if I ever manage to pull this off?
One of the major ones that happens usually within a week is you stop craving sugar. So if you can get through the first week of knocking the sugar out, it's amazing. And then food actually tastes better. You find also that you're not craving the next Taco Bell and the McDonald's and the fast food drive-in stuff. You actually go, huh, you know, that chicken and broccoli look pretty good. Geez, I think I could have a piece of fish tonight. And it's simply because you've reset your system on real food and real nutrition as compared to the stimulants that sugar are doing constantly and causing you to need, you know, once you have it, you need more. People can expect to start being less puffed up and less fluffy. So, you know, muffin tops and bellies start to, you know, change a little bit. Dark circles under the eyes start to go away because you're not constantly bombarding the liver with a toxin that it really can't break down. Now, I'm saying knocking out sugar, I also would say it's to safely knock out much of the carbohydrates because they do switch over into sugars for most people. So it doesn't mean, you know, knock out sugar and eat pizzas and pasta every day.
So tell me, what are the things that I should be knocking out? Like, you know, some people, when they say sugar, they mean fruit. Are we talking about fruit here? Are we talking about breads? Are we talking about just candy? What's going on?
I mean, I'm talking the real white sugar and is the number one.
Yep, it's
the
number one.
I would say next to that would be the carbohydrates and the breads. I mean, really, breads have changed in our country, and we do not, you know, make breads that our grandparents were raised on. So it's not the same animal anymore. So it really does. That's the next one I would have you knock out. Fruits, I would say 1 to 2 pieces a day would be fine. Fruit juices, absolutely not, unless you have your own orange tree and you squeezed it that morning and drink it that morning. Because by the time that fruit gets to you in the carton and the refrigerator and wherever else it went, it doesn't have anything left in it except for sugar. There is no more vitamin C in it. There's no more nutrition. It's all been denatured.
Yeah, I know that they're pasteurized or something like that, the fruit juices. I'm from the town where they make Tropicana, so
exactly.
pretty familiar with all of this. As far as fruits, right now, it's very popular to consume berries, antioxidants of some sort, and these kind of things. What are your thoughts on that?
I love them. I think it's a good idea. I think melons is the next one. Apples and pears are good. You know, grapes in general are pretty hard on digestion. They're also really high in pesticides. And strawberries, you know, as much as it kills you to have to spend the extra money, organic strawberries would be a better choice because they really do absorb a lot of the pesticides. And to make a strawberry look good, they had to do a lot of different chemical things to it. As you noticed, strawberries that look good don't necessarily taste good, but the organic ones generally do.
Yeah, there is a very small membrane on strawberries compared mm-hmm. to others. Cool. And so what is this product that you were talking about previously? I just want to make sure that people get a chance to write it down.
The name of it is called Colorex.
Okay.
And it comes from a horopito plant that's grown in New Zealand. It's only native to New Zealand. And this horopito plant actually kills off yeast colonies. When it kills off these yeast colonies, your digestive system can now normalize. The bacteria gets back into a normal balance. And this is where people actually handle once and for all the yeast symptoms that they have, including the fatigue and all the other things that they really, you know, are going to the doctor for. They can go to naturesources.com and find out more about it. Or they can call a 1-800, which is 1-800-827-7656. And if they use the code radio, they can get 20% off their first order.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious about this. I do take a small handful of these things. It sounds like you're pouring some refreshing water right now.
I actually am. Sorry about that.
No problem. I do take a small handful of supplements, so I might give this a shot and see if I do feel any better. Cutting out sugar is a good idea.
All you have to do is do it for a month, because if you've ever been on antibiotics, this is probably imbalanced in your body. And, you know, just doing it for a month will wipe that clean, and then you can keep on with the rest of your nutrients. They're not going to make a lot of money on this product, I promise you, but it does. It's so effective. It's amazing.
Thanks for your time on this one, Dr. Julie.
Hey, thanks for having me on your show, Mark.
No problem. Hey, podcast listeners. I choose my interviews based on what interests me at any given time, and I found the press release for this to be interesting. I don't know anything about whatever it is that the good doctor is hawking here. This is not an endorsement. Neither is it a warning or anything like that. I just don't know. It's a good idea to cut sugar down in your diet. I'm trying to do it. I may very well try this supplement that she's talking about. However, I just want you to know this is not paid, and I don't know anything. All right? Thanks.
Would you like to hang out with Penn Jillette? He's keynoting Freedom Fest this year.
I, for one, am thrilled. Freedom Fest is the largest liberty-oriented gathering in the world. They take a Big Ten approach with libertarians, conservatives, liberals, anarchists, capitalists, and just open-minded people mingling together to hear real debates, share real solutions, and converse freely. This year's theme is the Wild West, a time of liberty and opportunity, or a time of anarchy and violence. Maybe both. Go to freedomfest.com/FTL and get your tickets now. FreedomFest.com/FTL. Not convinced yet? Hey, I understand. It's a high-end event. Even with coupon code FTL50, sure, you're likely to receive investment advice that'll make that sum seem paltry. But I have something special for you. Go to FreedomFest.com/FTL and you'll get the 5 best speeches from last year for free. Call it a test drive. Do yourself a favor and go to FreedomFest.com/FTL. FreedomFest.com/FTL. Use coupon code FTL50 for a discount.